Coming to you from beautiful downtown West City is Fistful Since the Beans, episode number 27. We're back after a week break. It is the host Taylor with my co-host Nixon.
Yep.
Feeder.
Hey.
And Katie.
Hello.
Hello, indeed. We watched, what, episodes 106 through 109 this time. Really, really heavily Piccolo-focused. What'd you think of these overall, Katie, without any spoilers here?
I really liked all these. I thought they were all interesting and exciting and, yeah, just a really good set of episodes, I think.
Nixon, what'd you think?
Well, I watched these like 2 weeks ago, so.
Wow.
So, the last one was good.
You know what happened. Peter, what do you think?
I think these are pretty banging, especially the last
one. All right. So we'll get into it. Episode 106, Terrible Tambourine. Aired in Japan March 23rd, 1988. Aired in the U.S. September 6th, 2003. Whipping up with Yajirobe cooking Symbol's body on a fire here, Peter. And Yajirobe and Goku make some small talk about breakfast. Goku warns Yajirobe that eating monsters is a bad idea. And Yajirobe tells him to back off. And then he proceeds to eat Symbol's entire body, Peter.
Yeah, and then he's like, he's like still hungry after
that.
Yeah,
he's not full. What do you think the Symbol tasted like?
Well, he came from Piccolo, so.
So what? What does Piccolo taste like?
I bet he's like
chicken.
I bet he's like tough, like jerky.
Jerky? Katie, what do you think he tasted like?
It's like a lizard.
What's a lizard taste like?
Chicken.
Like chicken, probably. Haven't people said that it tastes like chicken?
Probably.
It's like real tough.
I wish he'd...
Real gamey.
I don't know. Doesn't seem like he should have ate him. But yeah, he ate everything but the skeleton, basically. He ate the guts and everything, Nixon.
Yep.
Would you do this if you defeated Symbol? Would you eat him?
I don't know. Is it like the first time I've defeated something like this?
Why would you only do it on the first time?
Well, it seems to me that Yajirobe has a history of killing like talking animals, as does Goku, and he's eaten them in the past. So if I have a history of eating creatures like this, because he looks just like that guy who shoots the pink stuff out of his mouth, then I wouldn't have a problem eating this guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have a problem eating this guy if I have a history of doing this. If this is the first time, then I might have a problem with it.
Piccolo tries to use his like telepathic link to get in touch with Symbol, but he's like, oh, he's been killed. And Pilaf and the gang like try to console Piccolo, but that angers him. He's like, you wouldn't understand. He's like, have you ever watched your guy hatch and spit his first slime and then watch him die, Peter? Have you been in that scenario? Then no. You don't he understand Piccolo's pain. We then cut to a village that appears to be made up of only humanoid animals here, Katie.
I thought that was kind of weird.
A bear dad and his bear son are out there fishing with fishing poles. And they're like fishing, but then all of a sudden, like, Giren, who, Peter, you remember Giren from the tournament? He was a pterodactyl man. Mm-hmm. He steals the fish they catch and he eats it, and all the other villagers are, like, hiding in their homes afraid of him, and we learn that he's been, like, stealing food from this village for some time.
I thought he was going to stop being an
asshole. Yeah, he was last time we saw him.
And now he's, like, even a bigger asshole than before.
Something happened in Giren's life. Yeah, so he's been tearing this village for some time, and he's about to strike the father down, but it's stopped by Tambourine, of all people. He makes sure he, like, asks Giren if he's Giren. He's like, yeah, I am. He's like, all right, then time to kill you. So, he, like, immediately Tambourine is, like, fucking Giren up, like, really bad. And the villagers, like, get the wrong impression, Nixon. And they're like, oh, our hero, Tambourine, saved the day. Dave Reed says that Geared is ashamed of all monsters, Peter. He's
yeah, which means he's calling himself a monster.
Well, he knows.
He's cool.
He is a monster. Geared tries his merry-go-round gum technique, but Tambourine's not very afraid of it. And just like Goku, Tambourine like flexes out of the gum. He then punches a hole straight through Geared, killing him, Peter.
They do exchange, like, a few blows for a while. I was, like, surprised that he put up, like, that much of a fight and didn't get one-shotted like all the other.
Remember when he was drinking milk at a bar and then he fucked up those monks? Because they were like, oh, monster!
He, like, did it while he was, like, drinking. He, like, didn't even stop.
He's also in a trench coat. That's cool. So, after Geared's dead, Katie... These bears, they run to Tambourine, like, oh, thanks, Tambourine, you're a real cool dude. And Tambourine responds by killing the father bear. And he's like, Geared was a job. He's like, but the bear, that was for fun. And he just leaves. He leaves and, like, flies away. What'd you think of that bear death, Katie? Did you like the bear death?
I thought it was kind of weird. First of all, because I feel like... So it shows you kind of hit him, or it shows you him kind of hitting him, but it almost just seems like he cuts his outfit
yeah.
and doesn't actually hit him. And I swear that the dad is, like, still moving afterwards.
Yeah, he's still moving, and he's like
making noise. He's like, ugh.
And, like, the kid doesn't really seem... I mean, he's, like, shocked, but he's not, like, freaking out, which was like, to me, I thought he just hit him and didn't kill him, but then he's like, oh, I just killed your dad for fun, and I'm like, is he really dead? I don't, it's just kind of confusing.
Can only hope so. We cut to Tien, Roshi, and Chiaotzu, who already have a ball, a Dragon Ball. Tien wants to fight Piccolo head-on, but Roshi says they need to work together. They get a hit on the dragon radar and take off in that direction. We see who Tambourine's next target is, Katie, and it is Yamcha. We see that Yajirobe has only left bones behind Nixon, but he's still hungry. Goku tells him... What? What were you saying?
Said yeah.
Goku tells him of Tambourine and how he will come after him because he has a Dragon Ball. Yajirobe gets real irrationally angry here. And he says that he was taught by the top hunters of the land. He says he's sophisticated, Peter. Goku says he is like Krillin, except with hair and a nose. And then Yajirobe begins to picture himself looking like Krillin, Katie.
Yeah, that was weird.
He's like, I don't like that. He makes sure, he's like, I don't like looking like that.
He's like, I might look good with that. And he, like, pictures it. And he's like, no.
Yajirobe says Goku is a distraction and he needs to get his hunting done. Goku just says bye and takes off. Yajirobe's like, good, I don't ever want to see you again. But Goku comes back, like, really, like, immediately. And he's like, oh, can I have the Dragon Ball so I can bring my friend back? And Yajirobe's like, how is this fucking ball going to do that? And then Goku explains it all to him. We see Piccolo, who wants revenge for Symbol's destruction. Piano and Pilaf try to reassure Piccolo that Symbol can't be dead. He's probably just lost. And then Piccolo tells him, he's like, there's a link between me and all my children. He's like, I felt this death. We cut to Yamcha, who's training with his bad leg, Katie. He doesn't seem very smart.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a bad idea.
Tambourine shows up on the island, because remember, they moved islands. He shows up at the Kame house on the new island, and he asks for directions. He, like, asks for these coordinates. And dumbass that Yamcha is, he's like... Actually, Yamcha and Bulma, I'm about to say Katie.
It was
Bulma. And Bulma are also really dumb here, because Yamcha's like, oh, it's like, that's where we used to live. And then Bulma says that, and then Yamcha points in the direction. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's over there. He's like, what? What? You used to live there? And then he puts it together that is Yamcha. He calls him scrawny and lame. Yamcha calls Tambourine Piccolo's yes man, and to prepare to fight, Yamcha's gonna avenge Krillin here, so he thinks they begin to fight. Yamcha is actually putting up a fight here, surprisingly, Peter. But then he throws a kick with his bad leg, and of course, Eren's just like. And then he gets kicked in the stomach real hard, and he's like struggling to get up to his feet because of his bum leg. Launch distracts Tambourine with her machine gun, and Tambourine's about to do his weird glowing fist punch to Yamcha, but Piccolo like yells at him telepathically. So Tambourine flies up in the air, and he's given new orders to drop everything he's doing and to track down Symbol's killer. Tambourine yells or tells at Yamcha that he'll return soon and flies off. And then we see Roshi, Tien, and Chaozu. They find another Dragon Ball in the Arctic. It's frozen in an iceberg. So Tien uses the Tri-Beam, Nixon, to get it out of there.
Which takes away his like life to use that, but he just uses it all the time now. Guess that's not true.
How long ago? It's only been a year. Like icebergs that size don't happen in a year.
Maybe when it hit, it just went inside the ice.
I don't know. They retrieve the ball. It's a 2-star Dragon Ball. Goku tells Yajirobe of his plans to bring Krillin back, and the episode ends as Tambourine makes his way toward their location. Katie, what'd you think of this one?
I like this one, although I feel like Tambourine's skill level seems to like really vary depending on the episode. Because like I just find it hard to believe that Girin would get a hit on him, but hungry Goku wouldn't. You know, like even really hungry Goku's skill level is far beyond Girin. So wow. I feel like it seems to be, I don't know, like he's tougher sometimes, you know, he's more tough sometimes than he is other times. I don't know. But overall, I still like Tambourine a lot, so I enjoy watching the fights with him.
Nixon, what'd you think?
I thought it was a solid foundational episode and things are ramping up.
Peter?
I was also really surprised that the Girin dude couldn't like land some blows.
I don't know why you guys are surprised by that when the guy just, they can easily say, oh, he's just playing around with his like prey because he's an asshole.
Yeah, but he literally said, no one has ever hit me before. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think he would let him hit him if he's never done that before. You know what I mean?
No, I feel like he'd just be like, oh, I guess I'm getting sloppy, so I'm going to kill you now.
That's good. That's good dialogue. Anything else you want to say?
That's good.
Peter?
Good dialogue. No, good episode. Like it a lot. Yamcha got fucking lucky.
Why'd he throw a kick with his bad leg?
Probably forgot.
This something you memory. Don't want to do. We'll move on. Episode number 107, titled Tien's Atonement, aired in Japan April 6, 1988, aired in the U.S. September 9, 2003. Roshi, Tien, and Chaozu are trying to get a Dragon Ball, from a pirate, Katie. But this isn't a right. It's a like a classical pirate ship, like a wooden one. But it's not on the water, Katie. Where is it going? Do you remember?
It's in the air.
No, well, it's on the ground.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on tank treads. It's got like tank treads. What's the point of this?
I don't remember that.
It's a land ship.
Yeah, but why does it have to look like an old pirate ship?
It's, I mean, it's cooler that way.
It's very weird. The pirate captain is like this tiger man. He has an eye patch and stuff. He wants 1,000,000 zenny for the ball. Roshi goes, okay, and he walks up to him. And then he just tries to give him a lottery ticket and a beer coupon. Peter, would you give away Dragon Ball for a lottery ticket and a beer coupon?
I mean, that's not even like a fair trade. So you can't be mad at the guy for saying no when that's not a fair trade.
I can't remember. Does the tiger know that it's not a fair trade?
Yeah, he gets real pissed. And
he proceeds to like want to rob them all.
Yeah, he like... They stop the ship and threaten Roshi, and he's like, too bad I don't have a plank or something like that. and just and like they all circle around the three, and they're going to have to like fire their guns on them. And right when they're about to do that, Tien orders Chiaotzu to stop all the bullets with his abilities, and he does. They disarm the captain, and he's afraid, and he gives him the ball. Is that okay? Is that technically them stealing?
Yeah.
But we don't...
Yeah, I think it
is. We don't know how the pirates got the ball.
They probably just found the damn thing.
Well, if
to be fair, though, the pirates did just try to murder them.
That is true.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Roshi gave him an insulting offer.
That's all he had.
They didn't have to shoot him, though. Like,
I would be mad, too.
Just because...
Like, you know what? I'm just robbing you now. That was such a shitty offer.
We cut to Yajirobe and Goku, who are walking through the desert. Yajirobe wants Goku to stop following him, and Goku explains that Tambourine will return for that ball, so Goku wants to be there when it happens. Yajirobe doesn't plan on giving away the ball. He wants to sell it, Katie. He begins to like pick up the pace, and Goku like follows closely behind him. Yajirobe can't seem to shake Goku no matter how fast he goes. We go to Piccolo, who's extremely angry about Symbol's death still. Tambourine tells Piccolo that there isn't anyone at the location that he told him to go to. Piccolo orders Pilaf to use the radar to track the ball, and they see that it's moving at extreme speed, Nixon, because Yajirobe's running around like a maniac. Piccolo tells Tambourine the direction the ball's going and to move fast. Yajirobe and Goku collapse, KD, after running so much. And Piccolo's like, oh, the target stopped moving. Now's your time to strike. And Tamri heads that way. Goku and Yajirobe both catch fish in the river and eat them. Yajirobe takes off running once again. And he does like an MXC thing here, Peter. They're like jumping on the stones in the river. And then Yajirobe shatters the foothold, so Goku falls in. And that gives Yajirobe enough room to like get rid of Goku, and he jumps on this like giant hay cart and just rides. Which that seems like Goku's going to be able to easily catch up. Right? Because Goku can run faster than that cart.
But does Yajirobe know he has like a Dragon Ball tracker?
Yeah, I guess he doesn't know that. Yeah.
Because that's what I thought too, but then I was like, well, if he thinks maybe he just lost him, then he wouldn't be able to like come find him. But I don't know if he ever revealed that he had something that would that track Yajirobe.
And I forgot to say that when Goku fell in the water, he fell down a waterfall. Tambourine makes it to where they just were, where they cooked their fish. Piccolo informs Tambourine that they're on the move once again. Roshi, Tien, and Chiaotzu arrive in an old western town here, Nixon. And Tien offers to get the ball, and he knocks on the door where the ball's at, and a woman answers. And inside the house, he sees a familiar face. He's like all shook from it. And what is that man inside? What's this guy's deal, Nixon? Do you remember?
He was crippled by Tien.
Yeah.
This is such a weird, like... I mean, I honestly, like, I expect he has some, like, demons in his closet. But it's weird that they're going into it, like, randomly now. It feels like they watched this on a television show. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll just add that in here.
Yeah. For some reason, Tia just walks in this house. Like, I don't know if they invited him in or why they would have.
No, I think he...
He's just inside the house now, and he's real ashamed. He, like, won't look the guy in the face. The man gets up, and we see that he has a cane. And Tien says, small world. And the man says, yeah, it's really unfortunate. he says that he wished he could forget Tien's face. And then we see a flashback, Katie. Do you remember what happened here?
He's, like, in a... I think it was like a boxing ring kind of arena, and he's doing like, a martial arts fight, and he beats him, and the ref's like, all right, buddy, like, you won, it's over, and he's like, fuck you, get out of the way, and he like knocks him out of the way, and then he just fucks up his knee intentionally.
Tien elbows the dude's knee, shattering it. After the fight's already over, Peter. Yeah. The man says he had 13 broken bones after their fight, and it took him 2 years to make it back to his house and his wife. Nixon.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
His wife is in the other room on the telephone asking for help, but we don't know who she's talking to, and we see on the TV that there's a report of a martial artist being killed. We also see a baby. Tien apologizes, and he says he was a different person back then, which is literally, like, what, 3 days ago? When did he turn his leaf? It's only been, like, 3 days, right?
I know. I do have to say that his complete, like, 180 character change is pretty unbelievable.
He's one. Tien says he was a different person back then. The man's like, yeah, so was I. I used to be able to walk without a cane back then. Tien then changes the subject and is being like, well, that kind of sucks, but I need the Dragon Ball from you. The man refuses to give him the ball, and he doesn't believe that's what Tien's after. And he says, even if you were after that, I wouldn't give it to you. Roshi and Chatsu are just sitting outside, and they see an army truck pull up, and a bunch of army dudes get out with guns. The man stands up, and he grabs a gun of his own, and he orders Tien to leave. Tien says he's not here to hurt him, and army men rush in and surround Tien, and they say he's under arrest for the murder of the martial artist, which, that's smart. That's, he would be, like, number one suspect, Nixon.
Yeah.
They say they have him surrounded, and they say he's under arrest, and Tien pleads with him that he's innocent. They try to arrest him, but Tien resists. Roshi walks in, Katie, and then a guy points a head at Roshi's head. And he says, freeze, dirtbag.
And then, like, the captain, like, recognizes Roshi.
Yeah, but you realize who the captain's voice was?
Yeah, it was fucking Hercules.
Hercules' voice. And he's like, he recognizes Roshi, and he's like, oh, I was like, Roshi wouldn't lie. He must be innocent.
I think he knew him on a personal level.
Yeah. So Tien's free now, Katie, and he asks for the ball again. And the man says, go ahead and tear apart my home. He's like, you don't care about anything but yourself. And then Tien bows and tells the man to break any of his bones that he wants. He just desperately needs the ball. And then the man just forgives him and Tien. And he gets the ball for Tien. But he's like, but you're going to have to wait until he wakes up. And then we see the kids, like, got it in his hand as he's sleeping. At that point, if I'm Tien, I'm like, we need it now! And then he, like, snatched it out of the kid's hand, Peter.
And then he breaks the kid's leg.
Yeah. And then he shatters the kid's knee with his elbow and the wife. He
doesn't. Now your family's just like you.
It throws them like to the next continent, so it's gonna take them 2 years to get there or whatever. What do we cut to? Yajirobe's riding the fucking hay thing, and he's sleeping. And then Tambourine like pulls over this dude, and he's like, are you the one who killed my brother? He asked that to the driver of the wagon. But then he sees, like, Yajirobe sneaking away out of, like, the corner of his eye. Yajirobe is, like, surprised that Goku wasn't lying about a man coming for the ball. The two face off, but they are interrupted by Goku charging him before they can fight each other. And Tambourine's like, well, I thought I killed you. And Goku just tells Yajirobe, he's like, this dude's mine. He's like, you gotta sit out for this one. And Yajirobe says he will sit out Peter as long as he can eat Tambourine when he's done. Tambourine doesn't believe Goku wants to fight him again since he got his ass handed to him last time. And Goku just explains that last time he was hungry, now he's full. And the episode ends with Goku taking his stance. Nixon, what do you think?
I don't like this one as much as the other one.
Why not?
Because I thought the whole Tien thing was stupid.
That guy forgave him really fast.
Yeah, and Tien, I don't know. That's like just convenience.
That's pretty cool what Tien did, though.
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like the ref would disqualify him after the bell. But
yeah,
you know.
I think a lot of people would.
Katie, what'd you think?
I liked it. I mean, yeah, it's not as good as the other ones because who cares about the TN thing? But, you know, I thought it was still a good episode. I do think I'm just also a little bothered by Tien's character change because it's so, I think I talked about this before, but it just seems so, like, you know, switch flipped, suddenly good guy, that sort of thing. It doesn't really feel like anyone could realistically have a change of heart that fast.
Katie, he would still like show, I was gonna say, he would still like realistically show like asshole tendencies that he would have to like,
that's the name of my new band,
asshole tendencies. Yeah.
But I feel like now he's become this kind of like awkward, like semi-shy, like, I genuinely feel, you know, totally guilty for everything I've done in the past, and I don't buy that. I don't think anybody could really change. I know it's cartoon, but still.
Yeah, they should have had it in the flashback where, like, the crane, like, he was done with the fight, and then the crane hermit wanted him to, like,
you want him to fucking Miyagi, or not Miyagi, the, what was the other guy's name? The bad teacher's name.
The bad karate man. I don't remember his name.
You wanted, yeah, I want it to be like,
it's like, sweep like, the leg, Tien. Like, it's like, no!
Yeah, basically, it's like, do it. I want you to do it. And then he does it, because the guy, that would have been better, rather than, because we already got past, like, all this shit, and now they're just, like, reiterating it, and it doesn't look good.
Nixon, they named the episode Tien's Atonement. He had to atone for his sins. Katie, could you shatter somebody's knee with your elbow?
You know, I've never tried, but maybe.
Anything else you want to say, Katie?
No, I guess I could go on forever about TN, but I guess I'll just end there.
Peter, what'd you think?
I did like the pirates.
Okay.
At the beginning. But I found the second half of this episode very hard to
watch. You don't like Tien's Atonement. Guy.
No, because he's like, he wouldn't look him in the eyes. And then that guy was just like limping around his house the whole time. Like, bitch,
you did this. I love the fact that he tries to change the subject immediately. He's like, so I need something from you.
Yeah. It's just like, it's real. It was cringe.
Anything else you want to say about this one?
No.
Okay. Move on to episode 108, Goku's Revenge. Aired on Japan April 13th, 1980. Aired in the U.S. September 10th, 2003. Like the previous two episodes, I think, Tien, Chiaotzu, and Roshi are on the way to find another Dragon Ball. Roshi's daydreaming of his past memories with Goku and Krillin, Peter. He's like, remember when Krillin asked me to train him? What a memory. They see the ball moving, and they think it's the location of the monster that's hunting Goku. Tien and Chiaotzu seem shocked when Roshi seems unsure if Goku's still alive. Back in the fight, Goku charges Tambourine, and he does the circle thing again, Peter, what he tried to do last time on the Nimbus Cloud. This time it's working. He's going extremely fast, and Tambourine can't seem to, like, keep track of him. And then Goku, like, just elbows him and then lands a bunch of strikes. And then he knees Tambourine in the back of the head so hard, Nixon, that his eyes come out of his head.
Which is surprising. He's so, like, more powerful just because he's eating food.
Yeah. And he's,
well, he also just got done with the, like, the tournament.
He's been,
like,
running around
on nothing
all this time. I don't know. He's,
yeah,
I don't,
the days after.
I don't know. Well, he does have some ability that we don't know of yet, Nixon, that kind of could explain it.
No.
Huh?
Yeah. No, I hate that stupid line. It's bullshit. I don't like it.
After the knee to the back of the head where his eyes bug out, Goku sends Tambourine crashing to the ground with an axe handle smash, and it seems like Goku's won already. Yajirobe says that he hopes he never gets on Goku's bad side, and Yajirobe begins to prepare to eat Tambourine, but Tambourine manages to get to his feet, and he shoots a beam out of his mouth, Katie. Barfs up like a red laser, and then when the bright light fades, there's nothing where Goku's standing but, like, the smoking ground. Yajirobe grabs his sword to fight because he thinks Goku died. And Tambourine is caught off guard when Goku is just fine over to the side. And Tambourine tries to fly away. He's like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here, Vegeta. And Goku tells him that he'll meet the same fate as Krillin. And he uses his power pole to launch himself in the air. And then he jumps up the pole midair and shoots Kamehameha at Tambourine. Peter, and what happens to Tambourine?
He gets fucking, like, vapor.
He gets, like, completely incinerated.
It's, like, always the thing where it's, like, the light, like, overtakes him.
They yell. They're like, ah!
Yeah.
Lixon.
Yep.
Do you want to go out like this? In, a, like, a bright light and just, like, incinerate?
And scream?
While you're screaming?
I'm good.
What's the yell you'll do if you get incinerated like this?
Probably won't yell. Probably like a grunt.
What?
Like a Tim Allen grunt?
It's like I would just be sitting there waiting. Not like that, but like...
It's like the light over time.
It's more like... They usually scream not because they're like in pain, but because like they know they can't like stop it.
They're scared?
Yeah. And I was...
Like, ah!
Yeah, like that. But like mine would be more like... I guess I'd probably be waiting for the sensation, and then you'd probably hear like a grunt.
What
it would be, realistically.
This was like the first 5 minutes of this episode. Goku's already taking him out.
I know, this pissed me off.
Why did it piss you off?
It's because it's the same shit that's wrong with Dragon Ball Z all throughout it. It's that... It's like a bullshit, like, thing. It's like, you think Goku isn't strong enough, and then like, oh, I was just playing. I was just hungry. Oh, I was just tired. It's like, I'm really the strongest. Nobody can beat me. It's this bullshit,
what
like...
What do you mean? It made sense in this aspect.
It did make sense. He had just fought an entire tournament.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense that he... It just... He got his ass so fucking beat the first time.
Because he just got done fighting don't like care. The hardest fight of his life.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
Remember, he got hit by that semi-truck midair.
It just should have been a much more, like, a steeper conflict than what it was. And it wasn't. It was just immediately, like, the bullshit Goku card was like, I just wanted to die. I was just playing.
I disagree.
I don't.
I agree with Taylor for the most part. I thought it was a disappointing fight. I thought it was really... I mean, it was just kind of ridiculous. I know that Goku was tired and he was hungry and all that, but the amount of adrenaline that he would have had from the rage of wanting to avenge his friend, I think still would have, you know, evened out him a little bit. He shouldn't have been so easily taken down only to, like, eat food and then be like, oh no, I'm good now, because... Again, like, the amount of desire that he had to kill this guy, I think that should have done something. You know, it should have been harder for Tambourine to take him out the first time, I think, if they were going to make it so easy for Goku to kill him now.
Peter, I need you to do me a favor. Give me your impression of what Piccolo was like after Tambourine died. Do you remember? Well, how did he react?
I don't know what he did.
What did he do last time?
He's like, oh shit.
No, he goes like, oh! He's like, oh, Tambourine! Something happened to him.
Yeah, he's just like in pain.
Yeah, Piccolo.
He's like, Tambourine was just killed. That, like, asshole of Pterodactyl was like, oh, my God, my lord, I'm so sorry.
You can't remember Piano's name?
No, I can't remember his fucking name.
So Piccolo, once again, is like, oh, my God. It's like, Tambourine's dead. And he doesn't understand why this keeps happening. And Piccolo's like, he orders Pilaf to go to the location where Tambourine just was killed. And he's like, I'll take care of this myself. He's like,
he was also like, that was my greatest warrior, and like, as far as I've seen, that's like been his only warrior.
Well, he's all he can remember. He can't
dragon dude.
He can't spit stuff out all the time because he's old. Remember, it takes years off his life.
I know, but you know, you should have more than one.
He's at the end of his rope. That's why he wants to be young again.
So Piccolo is on his way in the ship to where Tamarine was just killed. Yajirobe is upset, Katie, that Goku destroyed Tamarine completely because now he has nothing to eat. And he even points to the side. He's like, look, I had a fire and everything. And he does say that symbol last time didn't taste very good uncooked, Peter. So I guess they had to be cooked to taste good. Goku tells him that if he keeps the ball, he's sure another monster will come. Piccolo is still super upset that his elite warriors have been killed. Pilaf tells Piccolo that some of the Dragon Balls are moving erratically, and they put it together that somebody else is collecting the balls as well. And Tien and the others are closing in on the next ball, and it seems to be in like this forest with like, what would you call these? Like spiky stone trees? What were these things? Nixon, what would you call these things? They're like pointy like rocks, but like,
I feel like I've definitely seen them in something else before.
I don't know. But anyways, they're in this weird forest thing. They land on next to a cave, which is on a cliff on this mountain. But they almost are like, they almost crash their plane because like a bunch of bats and birds come out of this cave and fuck them up. But Chiaotzu is able to use his power to scare them off. Tien and Roshi go into the cave. And then Tia orders Chiaotzu, he's like, you protect the plane. It's like, you don't come in here. Roshi keeps getting freaked out by dripping water from the cave. And at one point he falls down and he finds a 6-star ball. This was really easy for him to find, Katie. He just
stumbled. Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of right there, though.
Yeah. Tien wonders how the ball ended up in the cave. Did you think something was going to happen, Katie? Like a big monster or something was going to come out?
Well, I thought maybe there was like a big bird or something. It seemed very like they were in a nest or something, but I wasn't really sure.
They build it up like there's something in here. Like Tien's like, how did this get in here? And Roshi just says, birds like shiny things. They probably carried it inside.
Yeah, I was expecting like a giant raven or something.
That's because the English writer, or the dub people are probably thinking the same thing. They're like, how the fuck did that get in there? It's like, there's not a bird or anything.
So they randomly are like, started to get out of here. And once they start leaving, all these birds attack them. They keep pecking Roshi's bald head. So from the ship, Chiaotzu throws him his hat. It's like, here, you can borrow this. They get back to the ship and get out of there. And immediately once they take off, they get another hit on the Dragon Radar, Katie. And it's time to go to the next one. They're doing this extremely fast.
Yeah, and I mean, like, how are they traveling so quickly? Like
that ship, Katie.
Yeah, but it's not like it's going light speed. They're traveling around the whole planet.
We don't know.
Because Master Roshi and Tien aren't fucking stupid the way, like, Bulma and Goku are. They're like, we know. It's like, we're not going to play games. We're just going to go in and get the stuff and go. That's what they've been doing. Whereas, like, Goku and Bulma and all them are always like, oh, we gotta help out the village, or we got another thing to
do. Doesn't matter. I still think it would take them weeks to travel from, like, each ball, you know, to each ball. And if it's really that easy to find all these Dragon Balls, why is it that it seems like maybe only, like, one other person is ever looking for these balls?
Because they don't have the radar. They don't have the radar. The radar is why they can find them. That technology
wouldn't be so difficult to create if like Pilaf's got it and Bulma's got it. And I mean, I guess I get that Bulma made hers, but still, how did Pilaf get his?
He paid somebody to do it.
So then there's other people who are payable, who have this knowledge, who other bad people could pay to make it for them.
I just don't think most people know about
it. That's another thing. That's true. Tien and Roshi know that it's only a matter of time that they're going to run into Piccolo looking for these balls. Roshi's like, we don't stand a chance. We need to sneak in if we run across him and steal his ball. And then ask Shenron to remove Piccolo. And Tien wants to just fight him head on. Tien points out that if they just wish wish Piccolo dead, then that means Krillin will have to stay dead for a whole another year. Tien asks about the evil containment wave again, and Roshi's like, there's no guarantee that we could pull it off. And if we failed, at least Yamcha is the last line of defense. And he's in no condition, is what he says. Yamcha sucks, Katie.
Don't say that. He's just wounded.
Piccolo tells Pilaf that he wants to let the others collect the balls, and then once they have all the other six balls, then they'll just attack them and take it. Take them all at once. Which is very smart, Nixon.
Yep.
He wants to focus on getting revenge for his fallen soldiers. Goku and Yajirobe are just chilling, waiting for someone else to arrive. When all of a sudden, Yajirobe says that he will give Goku his ball once he gets someone else to eat. And all of a sudden, Goku checks the radar, and he's like, wait a minute, there's a ball right above us. And then they look up, and the giant ship is above them. How did they not hear that fucking thing coming, Peter?
I don't know.
So yeah, that's what ends with that. What'd you think of this one overall, Peter?
I like this one a lot. I also like the, when he's like, when Piccolo's like telepathic, talking to Tamarine, he's just like, Tamarine, like coordinates 132
X. Bulma and Yamcha also knew like the exact coordinates for the islands and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, how does fucking Tamarine know the coordinates so well?
He knows his longitude and latitude.
That was like part of his like soldier training. Mm-hmm. This was a good episode.
All right. Nixon.
Besides the like bullshit power up, it was fine.
There was no power up. He's just full now.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You see how much he eats.
Yeah, but it's an ongoing problem with the franchise as a whole.
That is, no, he's fine. Work. It's fine.
No, it's not fine.
It's fine.
He overshadows every single person that ever like becomes a part of the team. Someone, and it's not fine.
Someone say he's there's, a main it's character.
Like plot armor. Yeah, but it's still, you should. It's better when other characters have like moments where it's like, oh, they can also be that great, and they can also like rival Goku's strength. Instead, in this show, in this entire franchise, it's like they give you false, like, oh, this guy's just as strong. It's like, nope, he's not, because Goku is always gonna have plot armor that's always gonna like push him. He was just pretending, or he wasn't going his full strength. He's only 1% of his power. It's irritating.
Old man Nixon over here, Peter.
Yeah.
Katie, what'd you think?
I liked the episode. I was also disappointed with the Tamarine fight, and I agree to an extent that I don't know that it was portrayed very well, like the difference in his abilities. In that moment, like, I just think it was a little bit too much that they made it so easy all of a sudden just because he had eaten food. But I disagree with Taylor's point about, you know, it being a problem that Goku's like always the strongest and whatever. I think as the main character of the show, it is important that he maintains like that he is the strongest one. Like, yes, we want to see him struggle against the villains, but in the end, you always want him to be more powerful. You know, I mean, there has to be a struggle, but I think it's good that he maintains that he is the most powerful of everyone.
Yeah, but Katie, I think it's not...
Katie, I think we might get a struggle in the next episode, actually.
I know, and I am excited to get there.
No, I'm saying, I'm going to rebut this again. It's never, like, a true... Like, the villain, yeah, sure. They'll knock him down a peg, whatever. It's the problem where it's never a struggle, period. It's a false struggle, and then it's like he just is exponentially.
What do you mean?
Do you want me? I can't talk about this without going into like other parts of the franchise way later on. But it's
he just lost the world tournament.
I don't.
He lost two world tournaments,
but he would have won.
He would have won by it was whoever touched last. They were both spent. It was whoever landed first.
Yeah, but the point they make is like,
and then he got hit by a truck.
Yeah, it's like Goku lost, but it's like, you know, if he didn't have these outside factors like the like Chiaotzu mess with him, he would have won. It's like,
yeah, he was robbed.
It's like he just it's never enough. It's never like, other shows will have characters who are like, they'll lose. Like, they'll have their characters lose, and then their, like, friend, their rival, whatever, will, like, beat them and be a better, stronger person, and then the guy catches back up, and he's still number one at the end of the
day. That's exactly what this franchise is about.
It's not, because Goku never really, like, truly goes through that.
Yes, he does, multiple times.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
I get that you're trying to say that there's always an excuse for why he lost, and not just because he wasn't strong enough, but I don't know if that's always the case. Well, then what are you saying? He clearly has lost. We've witnessed him lose.
There's no fucking point in having any other characters in the show, because they always give you these bullshit things that say, oh, this character's also just as good, just as strong. Why we even waste our fucking time with anybody else when Goku is just always like, he's a fucking Mary Sue. He always is like number one. He's never really like, he gets his ass beat by the villain and then he comes back and wins. But it's never like another character can have the spotlight for even a second. He just becomes he's just always like so powerful. I don't like it.
As we continue watching, Nyx will be proved wrong. We'll see it in the near future. Katie, was it your turn? I don't remember who was talking.
I think it was my turn because I was just disagreeing. Okay. But my last point on it will be that you could say that about any show, like One Punch Man, for example, where the main character is much stronger.
Show in anime is exactly like this.
Exactly. That's my point, is that you could say that about any show, is that why spend time with anybody else, because the main character is so much stronger. You could say that about Fullmetal Alchemist. You could say that about One Punch Man. You could say that about, you know, any show that you've ever watched, is that the main character is always going to be way better than everybody else pretty much for the whole show.
Not like this.
I agree with Katie. Anything else you want to say, Katie?
Nope, that's it.
All right, move on to 109, titled Goku vs. King Piccolo. Aired in Japan April 20th, 1988. Aired in the U.S. September 11th, 2003. Goku and Yajirobe see the ship above them, and Mai accidentally broadcasts over the intercom on the outside that she's like, King Piccolo, we have arrived. And then they're like, oh shit, you're the outside speaker, not the inside speaker. Yajirobe says he's heard that name before. He says he's heard it in his village, in his story, and Goku can't pronounce the name. And Goku realizes that he must be the person behind all the monsters, and that he thinks about it, or Yajirobe thinks about it, and he remembers that Piccolo, he heard the Piccolo story about him taking over the world, basically. And Yajirobe takes off, Katie. He gives Goku the ball, and he's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And he just he runs away. This is the Yajirobe we know, Peter.
This is the classic Yajirobe. He's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
On the deck, they're like on top of the deck of the ship, and Pilaf tells Piccolo that he will land the plane so they can fight. And Piccolo's like, don't bother. And Pilaf uses binoculars to see who's down there. And he sees this Goku. And he's like, oh, shit. And he's like freaking out. And he tells Piccolo about Goku. And Piccolo's angry that it was just a child that took out his soldiers. And he's like, I'm even in my state now, I can easily take care of a child. So then he just jumps off the ship, Katie, and lands on the ground in front of Piccolo, or in front of Goku. Goku calls Piccolo an animal and says that he's just as responsible for Krillin's death as Tambourine. And Katie, what's Piccolo acting like here during his conversation with Goku? Is he like, he's laughing a lot, right? Like,
yeah, he thinks it's really funny.
He's laughing like a lot. He goes like, he's like, please, like, will you ever forgive me? Like, he's just like fucking with Goku. And then Goku asks, what's so funny, Katie? And Piccolo says, you. Goku demands that Piccolo give him back his grandfather's Dragon Ball. And we see that as Yajirobe did flee, Katie, but he didn't go too far. He's just hiding behind a tree looking. Piccolo informs Goku of who he is, and he says, I am the abomination that haunts your nightmares. Goku says, and he also says that you'll soon call me master, and Goku's like, no. Piccolo says that anytime he meets a martial artist, he just wants to destroy them. Yajirobe's already, like, saying goodbye to Goku, Peter. He's like, it's good knowing you. Goku vows to get revenge for his friends, and he shocks Piccolo with the speed and actually, like, kicks Piccolo in the stomach, knocking him to the ground. Pilaf and the others are like, oh, shit, like, this guy ain't nothing. And they try to, like, they're, like, trying to think of their way to get out of here. And Piano tells him to settle down and that Piccolo is just fine. Yajirobe knows it's not over yet, and Piccolo gets to his feet. And he says he's never been knocked down before, Peter. He's like, I didn't know I could be knocked down.
He didn't think it was
He's like, I didn't think someone could, like, knock me off my feet.
He's like, well, fuck me sideways.
Piccolo gives Goku props, and he says, Goku is a perfect example of the reason why he exterminates martial artists. He's like, and then Piccolo takes off his weird cape. And he's like, I'll do my best to keep up with you. As he's laughing, Katie. He likes to laugh.
He's just confident.
Uh-huh.
He's a happy guy.
Goku is ready to fight, and Piccolo gets serious, and he, like, his eyes flash, and then we see this weird, like, fart fume aura surround him, Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it surrounds, like, Goku as well, and then it begins to, like, violently, like, whip around. And Goku says he can't move. And then we cut to Roshi and the others, and they find the 3-star Dragon Ball underneath this giant rock. Katie, Roshi picks up this giant rock with one hand and then tries to use the other hand to grab it. But he can't quite reach it. And then he eventually grabs it and sets the rock down. Then the rock falls down after him. And he begins to, like, run down this mountain while this rock tumbles behind him. And he jumps this huge gap. And he thinks he's safe, Katie. And then bam. Rock crushes him against the cliff, like a Looney Tunes cartoon or something.
So dumb.
And he drops the ball, and it goes, like, off a cliff into this forest beneath them. What if that's how he died? What if they, like, wrote him off that way, Nixon? He's just dead after that. That rock. Cool.
Yep.
Back in the fight, Goku is, like, slowly moving, like, with this weird fart wind. And Piccolo rushes Goku, and he hits him with a kick, sending him flying to the air, and then he follows up with another punch that sends him crashing back down into the ground, leaving a crater. And then Piccolo grabs his body out of this crater, and he's, like, holding onto Goku, and he punches him directly in the face. And Goku's, like, really fucked up here, Katie. He's bleeding already. Goku's only, like, offense that he does here is he bites Piccolo's thumb. What do you think of that offense, Katie? Is that a good move?
I mean, Piccolo really didn't like it, so
yeah,
it was pretty good.
He can't get him off. He's, like, waving his arm around, and Goku's just getting thrown around. And he, like, smashes him on the ground and stuff. And then he finally, like, elbows Goku in the gut really hard, and Goku finally lets go. And then Piccolo sees that Goku drew blood, and he doesn't like that, Nixon.
No, he's, like, freaking out.
He's like, you knock me on the ground and you draw blood? Was that what you did when you first got blood drawn, Nixon? You looked at whoever did it to you?
I don't remember.
And then you sucked it out of your hand like a weirdo?
Started sucking on it?
Like a weirdo, Nixon?
I don't remember. It was the first time I bled.
No?
No.
Katie, you remember the first time you bled?
Yeah, that's such a great joke.
Peter, you remember the first time you bled?
Yeah, I was out of my ass.
Ew. yeah, so go
Chipotle.
That was you went a long time before you bled. Piccolo is really pissed off that he got blood drawn from him, and since Goku will pay, he tries to blow up Goku's body with, like, this weird blast, but Goku dodges it, and Goku begins to, like, try to hide behind rocks, but Piccolo blows them all up before he can get behind him. Goku's completely gassed here, Peter. He does not seem well off. He dodges some more blasts, but is extremely exhausted. And Piccolo says, this is what I call entertainment. And he says, we've just started. and the pain will be exquisite. Goku tries to go on offense again, but is caught with another Axe Hand Smash. Goku goes for like a flying headbutt, Peter, like a jumping flying headbutt. And do you remember what happens to him? He like does the thing where there's like a giant jump, and he's like going at him really fast for a headbutt. But Piccolo just punches him in the face, like as he's charging at him, and then just knocks him to the ground. Goku says Piccolo is tougher than he thought, but that he will still destroy him. And Piccolo's like, "Well, you're amusing." He's like, "But the only choice you have left is how you will meet your demise." Goku gets up in defiance. Piccolo says, "It's been a long time since he's seen that look in an opponent's face." Goku goes for a Kamea here, Katie. And Piccolo looks very afraid. He's like, "Huh?" He's like, "What?" And then he's like, and then he's like, "Oh," he's like, "This is the evil David wave." It's like, I thought it was that move.
He was really scared for a second.
Yeah, he's like really afraid. Goku hits the Kamea directly, and when the smoke fades, Piccolo is standing unscathed the Nixon.
Yep.
No scratches on him. And the episode ends with like a like shocked Goku getting told that it's time to say goodbye by Piccolo. What'd you think of this one, Nixon?
It's the best of the four. It's obviously fun to see the villain actually like, I don't know, like he actually could back the words he was like throwing out there. So it's fun.
Do you like Piccolo's personality?
It's kind of like the same personality like all the bad guys have.
I don't know. He laughs a lot.
Yeah, they're all like assholes and they're evil, but they also like have like weird, like quirky things about them. Like they drink melon juice or make stupid jokes.
Piccolo
or do stupid
drinks melon juice, Nixon.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they all do like stupid shit, like juice. These that are like funny gag moments, but they're also like super evil.
Anything else you want to say, sir?
No, I'm good.
Katie, what'd you think?
I also think this was the best one. I really liked it. I was really excited to see a fight with Piccolo. He is my favorite Dragon Ball Z character, so I am looking forward to just watching him and his, you know, his transformation throughout the show.
What do you think happens next, Katie?
I think he's going to win, and I think he's going to get all the Dragon Balls, and I think he's going to wish that he's young.
Okay, we'll see if that happens. Anything else you want to say, Katie?
Nope. I'm just excited to see the continuation of the battle.
Peter?
This was a banger of an episode. Best episode of the night. It gets my, like, star of approval this
one. Peter's banger of the week.
This is Pete's banger of the week right here.
Sponsored by Bang Bus.
Yeah, sponsored by Bang Bros or Bang Bus.
Nixon, what's the Bang Bus?
It's a porn thing.
What is on the porn thing?
People go on a bus and they have sex on it.
Now, does the bus driver ever get in on the action, or is it just? Does he ever get?
I know of the Bang Bus, but I have not seen enough of the Bang Bus to know if the driver ever gets a turn.
If I was the driver, I'd be like, "Hold on, let me pull over real quick." But that might defeat the whole purpose because they're supposed to be like on the move.
Yeah, it's the concept of the Bang Bus.
But yeah, this is definitely the Pete's banger of the week. I like, you know, Piccolo's been talking shit like the last 10 episodes, so it's like we see his old ass, you know, start doing. I thought he was gonna like break his knees when he like jumped off the ship.
That would have been a way to like introduce yourself.
I thought his like knees were gonna blow out, but he like did. He like floated down or whatever.
What did you think of his cape? Like his cape.
Cape was pretty cool. I like, you know, he threw off the gi. You know, he's gonna get serious, so he threw off his his like shit.
What do you
and then
what do you think his skin feels like?
I feel like it's loose. So it's gonna be like, I feel like he has like a lot of loose skin because he's like super old.
Katie, so
yeah, that probably feels like a like, frog skin.
He probably feels like a
frog,
like an old like cucumber frog thing.
Yeah.
And then like his little like you know, like you see his like his arms or whatever. He has like the
yellow patches.
The little yellow patches. That's probably like feels like really like mushy like jelly stuff.
That's okay. Nixon, do you agree with that?
No.
Wow. All right, Peter, go ahead.
That was pretty much it. I like his finger beams as well.
Uh-huh.
That he like kind of just like points out with his like thumb and shoots like a wicked energy blast.
I don't know if we described him. He also has claws.
Long fingernails.
He's a really long fingernail.
But they're like sharp to a point. They're not just long fingernails. Like, they go to a point.
He's pretty wicked.
He's pretty wicked, man. Also, did we tell him that he has antennas, too?
Yep. He's got little two antennas that come off his
because
head.
Because he's old, he has a ball sack head.
He's got old ball sack head. Is this the first time we've seen a no cell or whatever, the Kamea?
No, Tien did it, remember? Tournament, yeah, he did it. He stood there.
Gotcha.
Oh, no, Tien reflected it. That's what he did.
Yeah, I thought this was like the first time someone just took it head on without even like moving.
He's that powerful.
He is that strong. Goku's gonna have his work cut out.
I don't think he'll be able to win.
We'll find out next episode.
Not next episode. Well, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it for this week. Four pretty good ones. What we're doing next week, we're doing 110 through 113. Yeah. Katie, you got any Pokemon questions?
No, please God. No.
What do you mean, no?
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go.
Okay, here we go,
and,
here we go.
Have you seen the Alolan form of Dugtrio?
Here we go.
It's because it's awful.
Well, what is it? What's it look like?
Take Dugtrio, just the normal Dugtrio, and you put a little blonde wig on each of the Dugtrios.
Like surfer hair?
Yeah.
Like surfer hair, exactly. It's golden surfer hair. It's fucking awful.
I'm looking at it. Hold on. I'm going to look it up.
It's so bad.
Oh, my God. It's Hanson. They're Hanson.
Yeah, I hate it.
Why are they Hanson, Katie?
I don't know. I didn't design them.
They fucking failed their own franchise.
Was it on the podcast where we talked about this? Where is that a nose or a mouth?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
That's a nose.
It's a nose.
He looks stupider if you look at it like a mouth.
Why? Because we both have like a giant gaping mouth.
Yeah.
Katie, plus it doesn't make sense from the side.
Katie, do you lay on the nose or mouth side of history?
You know, I mean, sometimes I'm a mouth kind of person. Sometimes I'm a nose person. It really depends.
I googled Dugtrio Alolan form. That's how I got the thing. But somebody photoshopped them all having Johnny Bravo's hair. Anything else you want to say about Pokemon, Peter? Anything else with your Pokemon Go exploits?
No, that's the worst Pokemon.
No, it isn't.
They're literally Hanson. Katie, what was their explanation of why they are starting to have different looks in different regions?
What was their explanation?
Yeah, like, what's making the Dugtrios grow hair?
I mean, I don't know the lore explanation, but I think the real explanation is just that it's hard to come up with new Pokemon.
Yeah, that's the real reason. I want to know the lore explanation.
I mean, it makes sense that
it's Hawaii, they like to
they
surf.
Would vary in different
yeah,
regions.
Yeah, but just because they like to surf doesn't mean they automatically start growing hair.
These things can't leave the ground. There's no way they're surfing.
I mean, you don't know that they can't leave the ground.
Somebody already made the thing about Hanson. I'm seeing a side-by-side of Hanson in the Dugtrio. That's cool. Isn't there, what's the other Alolan forms? Isn't there, like, what's the the palm tree one, Katie? What's his name?
Executor?
Yeah, remember, doesn't he just get a big neck?
Yeah, he becomes a palm tree.
Yeah, well, he already technically was palm tree.
Well, he becomes a very tall palm tree. A more accurate palm tree.
Yeah. That's a bad name for him. I don't... What? Peter, what have you caught? Have you caught anything cool?
Got Rayquaza.
One person should have been able to get him in the whole world. What? Yep. So they would make people go crazy, and they would have to, like, all travel to the same place. And there's only one person walks away, and then he gets murdered by the other mob of everyone else. He
gets, like, shot down, and is like, they like, grab his phone and run off.
Can you trade those on that?
Yeah. Yep.
I remember can't trade the legendaries. It takes too much.
Oh, they charge you currency to trade?
No, they have, like, a... They call it Stardust. You have to have like an insane amount to trade legendaries.
Katie, didn't you could bring those into that Let's Go one, couldn't you? From the.
I think so. Yeah.
But it's only a one way. You can't bring the Let's Go to the.
Wow. They're like.
That makes sense, though.
I guess. Pokemon Go kind of sucks. What do you think of that, Peter?
It was cool in 2016, and that's about it.
Have you got pulled over again yet? Playing it?
No, I haven't.
Didn't you get pulled over when it first came out at one point?
Like the first night it came out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They should do smart things.
You got pulled over too, or is it just me?
That was when I was with you. Yeah. You were freaking out.
Yeah, because I had my lights off.
You're like, oh my god, oh my god.
Then, I should go, oh my god.
I'm going to jail.
The cop's like, what are you boys doing? Peter's just like...
He thought we were, like, doing a drug deal or something.
Peter's just like, looking for some ladies, copper. And then he's like, what? What the hell, what, Peter?
Yeah, because I didn't want to say we were playing Pokemon Go, so I'm like...
He's like, I'm just sucking his dick. I'm just sucking his dick. That's all I'm doing.
Gave me this $5. That's it, officer. I swear.
What do you think of that story, Katie? Is that going?
I think thanks everybody for listening. Tune in next week for more Dragon Ball.
You gotta plug your stuff.
I don't know if I want to plug it on this episode.
Why?
Plug it on the Muck episode. That's way worse.
Do they? Can you find Mucks at like a site where like a power plant is?
Yes.
What?
I thought they showed up there with the Voltorbs.
Is that real? Peter, is that
and
real?
Yellow. And
are
yellow.
We talking about, are we talking about Pogo or?
No, we're talking about Yellow.
No, I'm talking about Pokemon Go. Did they make it where all power plants there's Mucks there?
No.
Mucks and. I don't know. We should visit one.
No, I don't want to.
Nixon basically lives at a power plant. He lives underneath the power plant, underneath the power lines or whatever. That's why you're mutant, Nixon.
Okay.
Katie, plug your stuff.
You can follow me on Twitter at Katie Gotsky. That's KateyGacke. Or you can follow me on Twitch at Cursed Katie.
Yeah. All right, Nixon?
Yeah?
Yeah, you've been streaming more often.
Yeah, it's hard to do on your own. It's easier when we're playing a group game.
Just plug your stuff. I didn't ask you about your status of it. Just say its name.
Plug your shit.
You just plug yours. I don't want to plug it.
If I had to say it, I'm going to make it even a worse sounding name.
Then they won't find me there.
That's true. Just plug what is stuff. His name on Twitch, Peter?
I think it's Ultra Saint.
Yeah, that's it. It's not Ultra Creamy Saint like I wanted him to change it to, but Peter, what's your stuff?
You can find me at Super Big Peter on every platform.
Okay. And that's it this week. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
If you're a cop pulling over Peter in a car with no lights, you know what he's doing. You know.
What a great ending.